Well, good morning, everyone. I was cut out there for a moment. We changed our order a little bit, so I got lulled into a false sense of security. Anyway, it's good to be with you this morning and just sharing again. We're going to be looking at the series, Building Back Better, which, just so you know, I noticed that the G7 political leaders were all now using the slogan Building Back Better. I just want for the record that we had it before they did, okay? So we weren't mimicking them, they're mimicking us. And so we're seeing that transition. The other thing I wanted to mention was that as part of Community SBC, we have a vibrant CAP ministry that's highly effective. We haven't profiled it over the last couple of weeks, but we will be on the other side of Easter at some point. But Fiona Walsh, who's our CAP manager, her mother died this earlier last week, and so our prayers are with her at this time as well. Building back better. I guess it means different things for different folks. As we come towards the end of a difficult period, a period that's been unlike any other period in our lives, probably. And coronavirus has represented a very serious health crisis, but it's also represented a social crisis. And in a way, the social crisis will last much, much longer than the consequences of the health crisis. And we are asking ourselves and searching the questions, and politicians are probably asking the question, what is it going to be like as we move beyond this? And as churches, we're sort of searching with the question, what is our part in the reconstruction of what lies ahead? You see, as a seed falls to bring forth new life, you know, we believe that there is hope emerging from this crisis, and hope will emerge from this crisis. Now, I know we're not at the end of it, and how long will it persist is one of those questions. For the next few weeks, we're focusing on the 40 days of prayer and fasting as we come together, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. But really, if you know, to get you to that other side of Easter, where it looks like we may start to see some of the things easing in terms of lockdown, just we're going to be focusing as a church on prayer and fasting. And maybe actually this 40 days is your last opportunity, because hopefully as we move beyond May and things are going to start changing again, and maybe your life will start to fill up with things that used to fill it previously. But as we do that, or before we get there, I've been increasingly convinced that we not only have to prepare ourselves for what is ahead, and we're busy at the moment behind the scenes preparing all kinds of things and putting in place infrastructure, whether that's in terms of our youth ministry, whether that's in terms of our community ministries, putting in place lots of things to help us be prepared and ready for the transition that we're moving towards. And you hear more about that if you come to the gathering, which is on next Saturday. And we'll be talking about these things. But in the midst of that, it's not just enough to prepare for the ministry of the church into its community, or the ministry of the church in relation to the church itself. We have to search for and seek a spiritual renewal within ourselves. And often, a social renewal has gone in hand with a spiritual renewal. And in fact, sometimes a spiritual renewal is the precursor to a social renewal. And increasingly, I've got convinced that we need to see a spiritual renewal in ourselves. And that actually, everything that we do, whether it's in terms of social action, and you've been hearing over the last 3 weeks, in terms of some of the dynamic things that happen in the life of this church, whether it's in relation to the Haven, or in relation to Lifeway, or in relation to FLC, and the things that we've continued to persist to do in the midst of COVID. And we have continued to do that, and that it doesn't reflect all the one-on-one connection that has gone on in terms of the life of the church. But in the midst of all of that, what we have to do is start with our own spiritual lives and the renewal of our spiritual lives. And maybe we have a little pause in the next few weeks, whether it's these 40 days, to actually sit and pause. There's a word in the Old Testament called selah, and it simply means a pause. You'll see it in the Psalms. It's like a musical thing, take a pause. And we have this moment before we start to move into whatever that future looks like to begin to reflect, but not reflect necessarily immediately on what we're going to do and what we need to do and all the needs that are there, and there are many, but actually sit and say, what's happening in my heart? And actually from spiritual renewal, seeking social renewal. In the book of Nehemiah, we see something of this, that the renewal of the city was going hand in hand with a spiritual renewal. And actually, the spiritual renewal of the people was so much more important than the physical renewal of the city. And sometimes we have to get hold of that, that actually what matters is not what God does through us, but what God does in us. And what God does through us comes out of what he does in us. And you know, in this period, we have an opportunity for God to do something new in us. For those like this kind of thing, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are stuck together in our English translations, together in our English Bibles. And they were actually seen as a kind of part one, part two combination or collection in the Old Testament. However, I want to suggest to you that they actually were correlated in the wrong way and we got them back to front. And it's complicated to go into all the reasons, but essentially it's to do with a reference to a guy called Xerxes, who was a king, a Persian king, in the book of Ezra. The only problem was there was more than one Xerxes. And most scholars have identified the Xerxes as Xerxes the First. But actually, I think if you read the text closely and look at the chronology of the kings that are being listed, the king in Ezra is Xerxes the Second. And so Nehemiah came first and Ezra came second. And if you read the books in that order, you'll actually see what is happening much more clearly in terms of the Old Testament. But just to explain the traditional way that it's seen, Ezra is seen to come and talk about the rebuilding of the temple and then the rebuilding of the law, or the re-engagement with the law. And then Nehemiah is seen to rebuild the walls. And then he's seen to rebuild the community. And then it all ends in total neglect and failure. And the way the story is constructed is we have all this exciting spiritual renewal. We have all this physical renewal. And then it's a disaster. What I want to suggest is that actually that isn't the way the story should be read. What happens is that Nehemiah, we start with Nehemiah, and it's about the restoration of the physical walls. And then we see the restoration of the community. And then we see a crisis in the community as they stumble over their covenant commitment to God. But then Ezra arrives and the people renew that commitment to God in the rebuilding of the temple and in the affirmation and embracing of the Torah. There is a pattern of return, rebuilding, and renewal. And in the midst of this, we see Nehemiah. And Nehemiah not only rebuilding walls, but rebuilding the community. The community based around the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the individuals. Over the next few weeks, as we move towards Easter, we're going to be focusing on the work of the Spirit in Jesus' life as it prepared him for the cross. And we're going to look at how the Spirit prepares us for that moment of sacrifice. And we're going to be exploring that probably in Luke's gospel over the next few weeks. And this idea that the Spirit must come and renew in order for the physical expressions of a church and a community to be effective is fundamental. It's the same in terms of money. We kind of have that strange story in Luke 16, and I'm not going to go and look at it, although it would probably take a whole sermon in itself. But Jesus is saying basically, look, you have to get your hearts right in relation to God, and then you can work out your material stuff. If you try and work out your material stuff before you get your heart right, you're going to end up controlled by the material stuff rather than by the Spirit of God. You know, in many cases, we have been overly controlled by material stuff. That's why every year this comes around, this sermon series comes around, and people say, oh, Alistair, do you have to do it? You know, we're going to take, when people used to come to church, we're going to take those 3 Sundays off or those 4 Sundays off. We really don't want to hear you talk about money. But the reason I talk about money is not for money's sake in and of itself, but because the working of our hearts has to have some impact on our material resources and how we use them. And if we actually are giving material resources without spiritual vitality and vision, then that giving of material resources is empty. Not that the treasurer wants me to say that, but it is. The fact is that we have to have a vision and be renewed by God's Spirit, and then that translates into the use of our material stuff. It translates into our vision and what we see. If our vision and the use of material resource is not born out of the work of the Spirit in our lives, then it is an empty thing. Churches turn into businesses rather than being filled with the life of God's Spirit. And the church is a church, it's not a business. And so all of us have to be challenged in relation to this. And I believe it's an annual thing that we have to challenge ourselves in relation to it. Here in the story of Nehemiah, we see that after the building of the temple, they're brought together. Ezra's there with Nehemiah. And they're asking themselves, where are we in our hearts? You know, we've done some good things, but where are we in our hearts? What do we find when we look at our hearts? Do we find the work of God's Spirit generating a love for His people, a love for ministry, a love for mission? Or are we just going through this external stuff because we think that's what we ought to do? Or is it being driven by the Spirit of God? As they read the words of the Old Testament, as Ezra read the law, the Torah, to the people, it said in verse 9 of chapter 8 that they wept because they recognized their failure to actually respond effectively to the Word of God. You know, how often is that true in our lives? Where God has spoken into our lives and we have failed to act on it. Where God has challenged us and said, you know what, that attitude has to get adjusted. You know, that behavior has to stop. Where the Spirit of God has said, this is what I want you to do. And we've said, no, make us uncomfortable. We'll upset too many people. And we've said, God, we'll just compromise. We'll sue your understand. And we've compromised the Word of God that God has spoken into our hearts and the vision that He has placed amongst us. How often have we done that? And as the people heard the reading of the law, they wept because they recognized their failure. But the second thing that we see then is that as they did that, the Spirit of God began to work something new in their hearts. And they began to understand that God was going to birth a new thing. And the new thing that God was going to birth wasn't just external, it wasn't just material, it actually was going to happen from the inside out. And any renewal that comes post-COVID, any rebuilding of our world post-COVID has to begin from the inside out. Has to begin from what is happening within us. Our vision has to be birthed from within our hearts. And it becomes from a listening to God. You know, if you're an activist, one of the hardest things to do is actually stay still and say, what is God saying? You know, one of the things that's easy, especially when you're surrounded with lots of need and lots of opportunity, say, we must do this, we must do that, we must do this, and race and begin to think, oh, there's an opportunity here, let's engage in that. But as a church, our vision has to be born out of a listening to God. That's why we've got 40 days of prayer and fasting. I hope that we will all engage because we want to listen to God and say, God, what is your vision? What is your vision for SBC in a post-COVID world? What is your vision for my life? What is my part in that vision? You see, it has to be born out in encounter with the Word of God. The third thing then that we see in this story is as God's Word is spoken and the people begin to listen and they recognize their failure to have listened in the past, and then they renew their commitment to listen to what God is saying and having their vision born out of that Word. They then are encouraged to encourage one another. We were having a chat because we've got some money and we wanted to bless the community. And we were saying, what will we do? How will we bless the community around SBC? One of the ideas that came forward was, you know what, we're going to do a special meal and then give it away to people. And people can come in and get a special meal. And folks were going, wait a minute, you know, aren't there the poor to feed? But you know, sometimes we have to actually do something for each other that encourages one another and helps our joy to be restored. A few weeks back, someone actually did that for me. And my family, they came and they brought a meal. They said, we just want to bless you. Here's a special meal. And they brought other things as well that I won't talk about. But you know, and suddenly it was like, wow. And you felt blessed. You see, as we listen to God's voice in our hearts, then it turns, actually, it's not just about us, but then we start to look around and say, who's around me that I can bless? And it starts with the community of God's people. Who's struggling? Who's lacking in joy? Who needs to be encouraged? And Nehemiah says, look, folks, we have to focus on the joy of the Lord because it is the joy of the Lord that is going to be our strength. And what he was saying in that was, he was saying, as we go into this future, you know what? There may not be a lot to celebrate materially. There may not be lots of amazing achievements that can be reflected on. But your joy has to be based on and grounded on what God is doing in your heart. And out of that, that joy that the Spirit produces in you, that will be your strength as you go into the future. And there are people around you who are struggling in terms of that joy. You know, I'm sure we've all encountered joyless Christians. And sometimes it's hard. And they might be doing everything right. You go into a church and they're doing everything right, but there's no joy. And you kind of say, why is there no joy? And it gets just discouraging. And it strangles life and it strangles innovation. And you say, why? And the answer is because they have no joy in their heart. God's Spirit wants to come and cultivate the strength of God in our hearts through His transformation of our hearts. And we have to not just see that within ourselves, we have to see that in the people around us. And you know, and if we're encountering people, and there are many people in our church community at this moment who are lacking in joy. And you know what? We have to make a meal for them. You might do it literally or metaphorically, but we have to get around and say, come and celebrate. Come and discover the joy of the Lord, because it is in that joy, in that renewal of the Spirit within your heart, that we will move into the future. We're having 40 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that there are many things that are needing done. I know that there are many needs that need to be addressed. But as a church community, I would like to challenge you with this, that actually, our greatest need is the renewal of our hearts. The greatest need is to rediscover the joy of the Lord as our strength, which comes from the inside out. There are financial needs, and we have a gift day in a few weeks, but you know what? Those financial needs should not just be met in terms of us presenting them. They have to be met from the transformation of God in our hearts and that working itself out in terms of how we express that materially and we respond to what God is saying. As we build back better, I believe it's not just a material rebuilding, but it has to be a spiritual renewal. And I think God is inviting us as a church to a period of spiritual renewal over this next 40 days as we move towards Easter, to reconnect with the work of the Spirit in our lives, to reconnect with the Spirit's vision for ourselves and for our church, and to seek God that what we do will come from the renewal of ourselves and our church, and that our expression into the community will be an outworking of that renewal. The story of Nehemiah is that story. The temple was rebuilt, the Torah was reaffirmed, but it came from a renewal that began in the people's hearts and not an external outworking. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the challenging example of Nehemiah. Lord, we recognize that we have so often failed to listen to your word, that our hearts have often become hard, and we have been resistant to the word of Scripture and to the words of your Spirit. Lord, soften our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see that external renewal and the renewal of your church and the renewal of our community has to come out of a renewal of our hearts. And Lord, we just ask over the next few weeks that we will experience something of that renewal so that we can understand and affirm that the joy of the Lord is our strength, a joy that your Spirit brings despite circumstance. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.